and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
Tux Lurzel.
And we be drinking. We be drinking. And we be swearing. I'm like that. It's like hitting the wrong note. We be drinking and we be swearing. This is the show where we do whatever the fuck we want because we don't have like a format.
For the mini. Love it.
Yeah.
I love doing whatever the fuck I want. That's how I live my life.
Oh, man. So this is the day after Biden became president-elect.
Yes.
So we're buzzing off that energy of not having a dictator soon.
Yeah. A lot can happen in a week. This episode will come out in a week from today or a week from tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Who knows what reality we'll be living in by the time this comes out. But as of today,
yes,
Biden was announced the winner yesterday. And it was a fucking celebration.
Yeah, I found out because I just heard people honking their horns and screaming in celebration with all of my windows closed.
Oh, really? All the windows
were closed? All the windows were closed, but Flatbush was just like on fire, like people screaming. It was amazing. And then I texted you. I'm like, hey, I think they called it because, you know, the streets be yelling. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
I got a text from one of my mom's like friends. I'm on this weird text chain just for the last since Tuesday.
Oh,
my mom texted me and a bunch of her like girlfriends all together, so I think there's like six people in it, and we've all been like, what's going on in Arizona? So somebody
what's
from the group,
wrong with Nevada?
Yeah,
I mean, seriously. Nevada.
But somebody texted me, and I was actually in the bathroom, and I like yelled through the bathroom door to Russell, Biden won Pennsylvania.
Yes.
But yeah, it was like people were literally dancing in the streets. There were car horns going crazy.
It was so exciting.
We had the windows open and like it was really crazy for like a good half an hour.
Yeah.
And then it sort of
were there any
down.
Fireworks going off?
Last night was crazy.
Okay, there were fireworks going off in the middle of the day in Flatbush.
Yeah.
Like it was amazing.
Last night was nuts. We had to give Betty a bunch of CBD because she was like freaking out. But we had the window open and like once it sort of calmed down, but people were still like, a random car would drive by honking its horn.
Yeah, wait.
But then like every like 30 minutes or so, somebody on the street would just yell, fuck Donald Trump.
Amazing. Music to my ears.
Yeah. Yeah, we watched the speeches last night on the TV.
Yeah, we had champagne. I didn't watch the speeches. I need to because I hear that they were really, really good. I did watch a lot of video of people celebrating abroad and just like people celebrating throughout the country, and it like brought me to tears. I'm like, everyone needed this so bad. Like, I forgot how bad we all needed this.
It felt so weird watching the speeches last night because they were really good, but they weren't like incredible. It wasn't like Obama level speaking.
You can't compare.
No, I know, but it just felt so like unfamiliar to like watch a speech and not be gripped with fear and anxiety and like actually feel proud and hopeful again for the first time
to have like an adult is going to be in charge again,
like somebody that can speak at above a fourth grade reading level.
Oh my god, that BuzzFeed article, I'll put it in the show notes with all the people. Apparently Trump was on the golf course when he found out that Biden won Pennsylvania, and he's driving back and everyone is just being extremely, giving him the respect that he deserves, mostly in the form of middle fingers.
Yeah.
Oh my God, such a great article. I was so upset that none of those fingers were mine.
Yes. But yeah, but there was a sign that says Trump can't read.
I know.
Like, along the way.
That one was,
so
I don't,
good.
I mean, it's good, but also like, if he can't read, that's sad.
Everything about him is sad.
I'm like,
capital S-A-D exclamation point. Sad. I saw a meme this morning that said, live your life in a way that the entire world doesn't dance in the street when you lose your job.
Oh, that is so true and so funny. Oh, that's amazing. What a country we live in.
Oh, what a world.
We were like flirting with like a coup, but then like everything's fine now.
Yeah. Well, again, who knows what can happen in the next week or the next until January. We have a long road ahead of us between now and January.
I think it's going to be brutal.
Yes. It's going to be rough.
There's going to be no new stimulus. He's just going to shut down on everything, I think.
Totally.
Because he's just like, oh, you guys don't want me. Like,
yeah. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
Because it's not about us. It's about him.
We don't love him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on that note, I don't want to just dunk on Donald Trump this episode. I would like to talk about the way elections work in America. And there will be plenty of dunking on Donald Trump. Let's not get it twisted.
Again, I'm here.
Yeah. So first I want to talk a little bit about the Electoral College. I think that a lot of people don't really understand what the Electoral College is and why the Electoral College is.
And where it is, perhaps? Yes.
I was going to make a joke about it being like Trump University, but reel it back in. So basically, when our country was a little wee baby country, and we didn't really know what we were doing yet and trying to figure things out, we had to find a way to put leaders in place. And there were sort of two sides of the coin. The founding fathers obviously had been prior subjects under, as a colony of Britain, they were subjects under the King of England.
Yeah, they were like Puerto Rico.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So they had a real problem with people having too much power and being able to put themselves in positions where they just get even more power. So they wanted to make sure that that wouldn't happen. And they really wanted to make sure that Congress didn't have the opportunity to appoint presidents. They just worried that there would be too much room for cronyism and corruption and that kind of thing. So they're like, we can't let Congress decide. We have to find a different way to do it. Mm-hmm. What will that be? But then the other side of the coin was there were a lot of people that were dead set against having it be by popular vote. First of all, they thought most people don't have the...
Most people are stupid. We's dumb.
Yes. I mean, officially they were saying like, people don't have the resources or the understanding of politics mm-hmm. to really make an informed decision.
And most people couldn't read back then.
Yeah. And didn't have even access to information a lot of times. So, basically what it boiled down to was like they're saying, you can't make a decision for yourself. We know better about how to rule your life better than you do.
Yeah. And we're like, yes, daddy.
Yes. but then they were also really worried about populists. Candidates running and appealing directly to the people and how dangerous that could be, how much power could be gained in that way.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this.
Yes, we're currently seeing this happen in real time. But so these two sort of opposing sides of the coin decided to compromise, and the compromise was the Electoral College. They decided they were going to set up a body of electoral intermediaries who would not be appointed by Congress, not be voted on by the people, but be decided on by the states. Every state could choose who they would send to the Electoral College to vote for the president. Again, from the beginning, though, this has always been a way for them to keep the power out of the hands of the people, out of the masses, the unwashed, uneducated masses.
They're like, show us your hands. Yeah. See, they're dirty. Yeah. Get out of here.
Get out. Because, you know, rich, white, landowning men... no better. Of course, they never anticipated what would happen to this country, how fast it would grow, how big it would grow. They never anticipated radio and television and internet. They never anticipated the information age. Mm-hmm. And they had no way to anticipate those things. So basically, bottom line is the Electoral College system is stupid and old-fashioned and doesn't make any sense for the way modern America runs.
Yes.
It should just be retired.
It's undemocratic.
Yeah. I mean, literally, it was designed to be a way to keep power out of the hands of the masses. Mm-hmm. So get rid of it. It don't make no sense.
It don't.
We claim this is a democratic process, and then the votes don't actually matter.
And that we're fighting abroad for democracy.
Yes. Baloney. We don't have it here.
Girl, sit down.
Yeah. And when it comes to the popular vote... first of all, if elections were decided by popular vote, we would not have had to wait like 5 days to figure out who was going to win. We would have known Tuesday night or Wednesday morning that Biden was winning a landslide, millions more votes than Trump.
Yeah, I think by Tuesday, because I was following this website called Democracy Rising, it's like how many more votes Biden has than Trump. I think on Wednesday night, it was already almost 2 million more votes.
And now it's like 4 million,
right? It's like 4.5.
Yeah. But also, if we also had popular vote, Hillary Clinton would have won and Al Gore would have won. We would be living in a literal different world If Al Gore had been president.
That's so upsetting. You're right.
If we had popular vote, that's all it would have taken. So that's my little rant on the Electoral College. Get the fuck rid of it.
4.3
million. Yeah. Yeah. Some states are doing this thing now where the states are pledging to base their electors on whatever the popular vote is. So even if...
You mean two states are already doing this, or just more states will do this?
I think more states are pledging to do that in the future. I don't know for sure, but even if it's more, it's still not enough, and it doesn't really work unless everyone's doing it.
No, so. It works if 50% of people are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's all yeah. We need. We don't need everyone. Like, fuck you, Alabama. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck you. My yeah. mom's from there, so I'm speaking through her. Fuck that place. Like, there are certain places that will never go blue, and that's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
But there's more of us.
Yeah, but if nationwide we just had popular vote, we wouldn't need all these, like, jumping through hoops and having yeah. all these rules in one state and not the other. It's just so much complication for no reason. Mm-hmm. And then while I'm on the subject of complication for no reason, I also want to talk about voting by mail.
You mean fraud? Just kidding. Yes. Tim, edit that out.
We'll get there. We'll get there. A lot of people, especially because Trump has made it really sound like this is sort of like a new and very imperfect system that's easy to rig. But
that's hilarious.
Voting by mail has been a thing since the Civil War. Yes. This is not a new system. Yes. We've been doing it for like a long ass time, over a century. It's very difficult to commit fraud.
Yeah. It was designed to be fraud proof.
And to say that it's fraud because...
people aren't voting for you?
Yeah. It's literally just... he's being a sore loser.
Yeah.
Soil loser. Yeah, it's just because he knew that he was going to lose and he wanted to sow distrust in the system.
And division yeah. and just make people really make his already really paranoid base even more paranoid about things.
Yeah, absolutely. At the time it was set up originally, voting by mail was designed for mostly for soldiers mm-hmm. and people in wars to be able to vote because they weren't home.
Yeah, we have so many military bases abroad.
Yeah.
So there's so many Americans who are just living all over the world and have been living all over the world for a century.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In the 1970s, California started the whole idea of letting everyone vote by mail civilians. If they wanted to.
Yeah.
It's called no excuse absentee balloting. But basically the idea was a lot of people, especially in California for whatever reason, it was just inconvenient to be able to vote on election day in person.
Totally.
Yeah. So people were lying to election officials so that they could use a mail-in ballot, saying like, I'm going to be, you know, my like great aunt Susan died and I have to go take care of her dog
she
in Minnesota.
Needs me that Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Eyes dart back and yeah. forth.
So they're like, you know what? Everybody's doing this anyways. Let's just make it easier.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. So California in the 70s came up with this no excuse absentee balloting. And then in the 80s, Texas started allowing early voting in person.
Really?
Mostly for the same reason. So that just to make it more convenient so people wouldn't have to lie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it started that early.
Yeah.
Cool.
In the 80s in Texas. And then the big push to make for like nationwide early voting and nationwide mail-in balloting started after 2000, after the whole hanging Chad debacle in Florida in the 2000 election. Because that whole issue was caused by overworked, underpaid
yeah.
election officials and poll workers who didn't have enough resources or time and were stressed out about getting things counted really quickly.
Yeah, they're being paid minimum wage
yeah.
and they're being asked to work crazy overtime, like around the clock this time around.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. And that's why, and then the whole country is like, what are you doing? Yeah. I want to know.
Come on, Nevada.
Seriously, what is going on in Nevada? After that whole hanging Chad bullshit, a lot of states were like, you know what? Why don't we just make this easier for people to vote earlier? And then it would be easier on the poll workers and election officials
yes.
because they will have counted things already and
exactly.
it won't be this big rush. Mm-hmm. So now most states do offer some form of either voting by mail or early voting or both. And most states either start counting those ballots as soon as they come in or at a specified date that they have predetermined before the election. However, four states across the country don't start counting mail-in ballots until Election Day. And one of those states is Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that was all about. That's why it took Pennsylvania so long.
Yeah.
Because they didn't start counting all the mail-in ballots that came into Philadelphia until Election Day.
So they tried to change the rules this year, and they were shot down.
Is it the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania was like, no, no?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Because they're like, the volume is going to be insane. Like, we need to start counting these.
Obviously.
And they're just like, nope.
Well, hopefully that will change now because they'll be able to look back and be like, that was a fucking disaster. Let's not do this
again. Truly.
So that's why Pennsylvania took so long. Again, who the fuck knows what was going on in Nevada because they could start counting before.
Did you see that TikTok that I posted? Yes. Like, every time you say Nevada, which is wrong, they have to start recounting.
Hey everyone, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Emily, and we're from Whining About Herstory.
Ever notice how women seem to be missed, forgotten, or maybe even purposely left out of history books?
We did, so we decided to take the his out of history and make it Herstory.
Each episode, we discuss the lives and general awesomeness of these historical Wonder Women, all while having a glass of wine.
Or maybe a bottle. Come join us on all of your favorite podcast platforms at WAH Pod on Instagram, WAH underscore pod on Twitter, and at Whining About Herstory. Remember, that's no H or E in whining.
See you soon.
Cheers.
So now we're at the portion of the mini where we're going to talk about peaceful transfer of power. So obviously Biden has been announced the winner. Many states have already called him the winner. And so many of them, in fact, have decided that he is the winner that even if Trump were able to somehow get votes thrown out or get a recount that somehow worked out in his favor, which it won't, and one of those states was overturned and went for Trump, he would still lose. But he's not going to go away quietly, and we know this. He's going to want to try and stall as long as possible. And he has already come out and said that he won't promise that he will leave office if it comes down to that. In the past, some candidates have delayed their concession because they thought things might have been fraudulent or they might require a recount. Look at Bush versus Gore in 2000. There was a recount and it ended up going in Bush's favor.
Yeah.
Even though he could have conceded, you know, he should have conceded, but then it went in his favor and the world was forever changed for the worse. So that has happened before, but no sitting president has ever lost an election and straight up refused to leave office. That has never happened before.
But he is a norm shatterer.
No, I know. And we don't know for sure that he's going to do that.
I don't think he's going to leave.
Yeah, I know.
And I hate saying that and like putting that out there, but like everything he's doing is kind of proving
that
he's
not going to leave. Yeah. Luckily, I don't think he can stay without the power behind him. And most of the GOP is already lined up against him at this point.
Yeah.
Especially the most powerful members of the GOP are not going to back him if he says he's going to refuse to leave.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the GOP. I'm mostly worried about just law enforcement apparatus. Yeah,
that's true.
This is what happens in banana republics. Like, if they have a leader and they have the military, then...
But I don't think Trump does have the military. He does have the police are on his side, but the military is not.
I know. I mean, they're not uniformly
on
his side. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not to say that all police are for him either, but
most
are for him and not most of, it's probably 50-50 of the military.
Yeah,
but it's not like a general consensus that the military would back him because he said a lot of awful things about service members, especially
the ones who are killed in combat.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Are losers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bitch, what? Like you were the commander in chief and you're saying this?
Well, and then he bit himself in the ass because they're not going to back him up if he tries to chain himself to the desk in the Oval Office. But either way, no matter what happens, we do know that there's going to be a long, treacherous road ahead of us. There's going to be a lot of legal bullshit and fighting and recounts and this and that and the other thing. So it's going to be tough no matter how it goes down. I do think it's nearly impossible for him to get recounts that turn out in his favor. I think the more votes that are counted, the more are going to go for Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the one that told his people not to send in mail-in voting and to vote in person. And then he's surprised that all the mail-in ballots didn't go for him. It's like, girl, it don't make no sense. Like, you told people not to vote for you by mail.
Yeah.
Remember when you said that? Like, yesterday?
Yeah.
The bottom line is he's a dangerous man, and it's a scary situation.
Yeah.
And he cares more about himself than he does the American people. He released a statement yesterday after it was called for Biden, that Biden had won. He released a statement to the media.
Are you going to read it?
I'm going to read it.
Okay.
It's kind of long.
Yeah.
We might cut a little bit of it just for time, because it's mostly windbaggy.
Yes.
But before it was read on the air, the newscasters, I feel like as soon as it was announced that Biden had won, all the people on cable news or local news were like, we don't have to pretend to like him anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And they were like, all of them were digging on him. All of them were talking about like how he was tear gassing protesters in front of the White House. And like, they're like, oh, look at this big crowd dancing in front of the White House. That's right in front of the church that they tear gas protesters so he could take a picture with an upside down and backwards Bible in front of the church. Remember when that happened?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're like not even trying anymore.
I like that they have all of the receipts and they're just like peppering in.
They've been holding on to these receipts for 4 years and now they're like, ha-ha!
They're like, and another thing.
Yes. Look, he was at Kroger and he bought SpaghettiOs. Before they read this statement on the air, they were like, so this is full of lies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he says, and I'm going to interrupt this several times because I have a lot to say about what he has to say. We all know why Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as the winner and why his media allies are trying so hard to help him. They don't want the truth to be exposed. The simple fact is, this election is far from over. Joe Biden has not been certified as the winner of any states, let alone any of the highly contested states headed for mandatory recounts, or states where our campaign has valid and legitimate legal challenges that could determine the ultimate victor. In Pennsylvania, for example, our legal observers were not permitted meaningful access to watch the counting process. Legal votes decide who is president, not the news media. So
what?
That's crazy. Like, legal observers of meaningful, the counting process, yes, were allowed into the room, but they have to stand a certain distance, yes, from the poll workers,
yes,
because it's fucking intimidating if they're standing directly behind you,
yeah,
and people are going to make mistakes, mm-hmm, if they're being intimidated.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is what they wanted to do, but that is illegal, and yeah, that is why he says they were not permitted meaningful access, because mm-hmm, they couldn't stand directly behind them and breathe down their neck.
Yeah, mouth breathe.
Ugh, the statement goes on.
Oh, shit.
That was not the end, yeah.
Oh, no.
Beginning Monday, our campaign will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. The American people are entitled to an honest election. That means counting all legal ballots and not counting illegal ballots.
What a loser.
Seriously. So the illegal ones are the ones that voted for Biden? Is that what you're trying to say here?
That is what he's saying.
That's illegal. I passed a law that you have to vote for me. This is the only way to ensure the public has full confidence in our election. It remains shocking that the Biden campaign refuses to agree with this basic principle and wants ballots counted even if they are fraudulent, manufactured, or cast by ineligible or deceased voters. Bitch, that doesn't happen. It is nearly impossible to commit voter fraud. All the studies on voter fraud have shown that it's like 9/1,000ths of 1% of votes.
And they spend so much money. And they should investigate things, but like, they
spent
all this money. And I think they found like 33 instances.
In the whole country?
In the whole country.
If it were easy to commit voter fraud, the Republicans would be doing it left and right.
Yes.
And maybe the Democrats would be too.
Yeah.
But if it was easy, why would we commit fraud so badly that we didn't take the Senate back the way we wanted to? We actually lost seats in Congress and barely squeaked by with the president that we wanted. That's the way we chose to commit fraud? Really? That's how we did it? Okay. Sure, girl. It goes on.
Oh,
it's almost over. It's almost over. Only a party engaged in wrongdoing would unlawfully keep observers out of the count room and then fight in court to block their access. Again, it didn't fucking happen.
Stop projecting.
They were in the room. They just had to stand a few feet away.
Yeah. That's why the cases were thrown out of court.
Exactly. Literally, he already tried it and the courts were like, girl, no, that's not how elections work.
Yeah.
So what is Biden hiding? I will not rest until the American people have the honest vote count they deserve and that democracy demands. The end. Take a bow.
Our emperor has spoken.
Oh my God. What a windbag. You're mad because people voted against you, so that's illegal?
The lawyer that helped him write that up. Like,
seriously, he did not write that.
Of course not.
Because he can't read.
Aww. I'm just, every time people talk about him not being able to read, like, I picture him in a library, like, in a circle of children, like, learning how to read.
See, Jack, run.
It makes me feel really sad. Like, I can't really laugh at it. I'm just like, if he can't read, that's sad.
See, Jack, run. He can't run against me. Fuck Jack.
Oh, man.
So to end our little voting mini-sode, we have a clip from the 2016 presidential debates where Hillary Clinton had something to do with the dangerous mindset of Donald Trump about how anything that doesn't go in his way is fraudulent and the cards are always stacked against him.
Do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well, okay? Chris, let me respond to that because that's horrifying. You know, truly, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him. Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the federal judge is rigged against him. There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against
him. Should have gotten it.
This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, but it's also really troubling.
Okay.
Now, that is not the way our democracy works.
True story. It's really troubling, and it's dangerous and scary.
It is.
So as much as yesterday, well, I guess by the time this comes out, last week was a victory, and it's very exciting that he will not be our president any longer. Don't get too excited because we have a long, troubling couple of months ahead.
Well, I guess our drinks are empty-ish. Yeah, I mean,
empty enough.
Mostly empty.
We should have been drinking more.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
Tuck Slurzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We could not do this without him.
It's true. We could not. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Thanks
bye.
For listening. Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.